أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، إمام الهدى، إمام الهدى، صالح بعد صالحين، دليل الورى، دليل الورى، صادق بعد صادقه، زمنصور مخذول، چندان بلا دید، لقد كان تنهد منه الشماهق، چنان تلخ شد، چنان تلخ شد، کامش از جور اعدا که شد سم قاتل برو شهد فائق. صلوات اللهم صل علی محمد. This evening, brothers and sisters, we are commemorating the anniversary of the martyrdom of our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far Sadiq و کشاف الحقائق علیه افضل الصلوات و التحیات. انشاءالله few words about the virtues of this Imam that we are proudly انشاءالله following him share with you, and that would be my humble contributions, and I hope that the present Imam, Imam الحجه جل الله فرجه الشریف, be pleased with us and accept this contribution انشاءالله from all of us. I have no doubt that this majlis that is held in memory of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, your presentation, your presence here, inshallah, will please the heart of his grandmother, Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha, will please the heart of his grandfather, the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and inshallah will please the heart of his grandson, the present Imam, Imam al-Hujjah jalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif. The topic that I have chosen in this short time that I had to share with you is Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Lantern of Guidance, for the reasons that inshallah we'll learn a little bit about it. Exceptionally, out of all the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, our sixth Imam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, had an exceptional situation between the collapse of one dynasty, that is the Umayyad dynasty, and the rise of another dynasty, that is Abbasid dynasty. The Imam took advantage of that period that he was living, and contributed the most to the Islamic Ummah, not only to the Islamic Ummah, in fact, to humanity at large, as we learn about it. In terms of his educational campaign in various then scientific fields. Briefly, in case you don't know much about this Imam, I will introduce Imam Ja'far Sadiq to you, and then we get to the main topic. The name is Ja'far, and the name of his father is Imam Muhammad Baqir, who is the fifth Imam. His mother, her name is Umm Farwa, and by her generation, she goes back, her generations goes back to Abu Bakr. And the title, the main and the most known title of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, as I've said it many times, is Sadiq, which literally means truth teller. When later on his son Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam was asked that why your father was called Sadiq, truth teller, all of you are truth tellers. So what was exceptional about Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that he was known as Sadiq? Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam explained that this name, this title was given from the Prophet at the time of the Prophet of Islam, for the reason that the messenger of God knew that time will come that a generation from him will claim something that he is not telling the truth. And to distinguish, and his name also is Ja'far, there will be two Ja'far in the generation of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam. One is the truth teller, one is authentic, and another one is lying, unfortunately, and he's the one who had been spying against the present Imam. And to distinguish between the truth telling Ja'far and the false Ja'far, the name of the title of As-Sadiq is given to the sixth Imam. The other Ja'far is the uncle of Imam Mahdi Ajalla Faraj al-Sharif, who is the brother of Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam. His name also was Ja'far. Unfortunately, initially he claimed to be the next Imam. That was one lie. And another one was that he was reporting, apparently, the hidden place of Imam Mahdi Ajalla Faraj al-Sharif to the then government, which none of them was, by the way, successful. By the way, that is the reason that why Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is given that title of As-Sadiq, to distinguish with another Ja'far. Date and place of birth of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he was born on the 17th, according to the most authentic riwayat, he was born on the 17th of the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, the year 83 after the migration of the Prophet, which coincides roughly in April, year 702 AD, and he was born in the city of Medina. Duration of leadership was 34 years. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was exceptionally the only Imam of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam that had the longest duration of the Imamat. None of the Imams before him or after him, other than of course Imam Mahdi Ajalla Faraj al-Sharif, have had that long period of Imamat or leadership. Date and place of martyrdom of the Imam was on the 25th of the month of Shawwal, 148 years after the migration of the Prophet from Mecca to Medina, Hijri as we call it, which is roughly in December 765 according to my calculation. And it happened to be in Medina. And as you know, at the moment, the shrine of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam also is Jannatul Baqi, that has been unfortunately some decades ago. The stood used to have a shrine, but at the moment it's just a grave without even any gravestone or any mark on it. The place of burial also, as I said, is in Baqi. The cause of the death of the Imam was that, as I'll tell you inshallah at the end, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was poisoned by the then king of his time, one of the kings of Abbasid with the name of Mansur al-Abbasi, and that was the cause of the death of the Imam. Briefly, let me introduce to you Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the personality of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam from the eyes of others. Some of those who were following him for a while, but later on for some political reasons, they deviated from the Imam. Nevertheless, they always admired the great personality and the profound knowledge that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam exceptionally enjoyed. One of them is one of the four Imams of the school of jurisprudence in the Sunni world of Islam. For your information, there are four main schools of jurisprudence in the Sunni world: Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi'i, and Hanbali. Out of these four leaders, two of them were directly the students of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam because they were living at the time of the Imam. The other two, who were not living at the time of the Imam, were indirectly also the students of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam because they were the students of the other two. So the four leaders of the school of jurisprudence in the Sunni world of Islam directly or indirectly have been studying for a while under Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. One of them is Malik ibn Anas, the Imam and the leader of Maliki of up until today, for several centuries up until today. Most of the Muslims in Africa, for your information, they were following Maliki madhab. This is what Imam Malik says: ما رأت عين ولا سمعت أذن ولا خطر على قلب بشر أفضل من جعفر ابن محمد. Imam Malik says, no eyes have ever seen, no ears have ever heard, and it has never crossed anyone's heart more virtuous than Ja'far ibn Muhammad in knowledge, piety, and virtues. This is the acknowledgement of someone who opened a school against the school of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Another person who was also one of the students, later on deviated. For 2 years he studied under Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and he is also one of the imams of the four school of jurisprudence up until today for several centuries. His name is نعمان ابن ثابت known as Abu Hanifa. Abu Hanifa also says that had it not been the 2 years, Nu'man would have been perished. He is referring to about 2 years that he studied under Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. As our contemporary scholars, one of the most distinguished contemporary scholars, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, also in one of his lectures that he was touching about the personality of Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam, he says that we are proud of being called the followers of Imam Ja'far Sadiq, or it is our honor that our denomination is Ja'fari, meaning that we are related to Imam Ja'far Sadiq. As I said it earlier today on the khutbah of Jom prayer, and I repeat, when we say that we are Ja'fari, sometimes we say we are Shi'i or we are Ja'fari, of course we don't mean that our religion is, or Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is the founder of the religion that we are following. We mean that we get our religion through Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in so much as the Sunnis, they get their mazhab, their religious duties through Imam Malik or through Imam Abu Hanifa or Imam Shafi or the rest of them. So this is the reason that sometimes Shia is called Ja'fari. I forgot to mention to you that also Abu Hanifa was asked, who is afqahu an-nas, who is the most learned person that you've ever met in your life? And he said, none other than Ja'far ibn Muhammad ibn Sadiq. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. One point always keep in mind, that the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they are coming from the same source, are one light in different appearances. Had the opportunity that was given to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was given to Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, Imam Zainul Abidin would present what Imam Sadiq had presented. Had Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was at the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam would have presented the bravery, and he had sacrificed his life in so much as exactly the same as Imam Hussein alayhi salam did. There is no difference between them except that different circumstances and the timing that they were living in. Because of the exceptional situation at the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the Imam had a golden opportunity to teach and preach Islam, the true Islam according to teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. For this reason, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam had trained many students. Historians, Shia and Sunni, have mentioned that, in fact, some of them, they have listed the names of the students of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, which comes up to 4,000 people. One of the narrators, historian narrators, with the name of Hassan ibn Washah, he says, some decades after the demise of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, I went to Kufa and I entered the great mosque of Kufa, in the city of Kufa. And I came across 900 senior lecturers, all of whom were narrating from, he was saying that, Haddathani Ja'far ibn Muhammad. I'm quoting from my professor, Ja'far ibn Muhammad, Imam Sadiq was saying so in various scientific fields that I share with you some of them. One of the examples that we are aware of today, and thanks to God, his book even is available, the name of the person is Mufaddal ibn Umar. This Mufaddal ibn Umar, the background of the compilation of his book is this, that he says that with some of my friends, I was in the Masjid al-Nabi in Medina, and as we're talking about the virtues of the Prophet, standing in front of the shrine of the Prophet, Ibn Abil Awja, he was an atheist of that time, he came to Masjid al-Nabi and he started ridiculing, and he said, yes, Muhammad, maybe he was a philosopher and a deep thinker, but he was a magician. He had the power of eloquence and he knew how to get to people, you know, with this power of speech, and rhetorically he was manipulating the mind of people. Mufaddal says that I was very much offended when I heard of that and said, how dare you insult such a great person and the messenger of God? And I was a bit offensive. Immediately, that atheist, Ibn Abil Awja, he says that he turned around and said to me, who are you? If you are a scholar, let's have a scholarly debate. If you are a layman, I'm not interested to talk to a layman. And if you are the follower of Ja'far ibn Muhammad, your teacher, Ja'far ibn Muhammad, Imam Sadiq, himself never has such an attitude. I've said much more heretical words in front of him, and he's been attentively listening to me, so much so that I thought maybe I've convinced him. Once I finished all what I had to say, very quietly, gently, he would respond to me and would convince me. So there's no point for you to get upset, and why have you lost your temper? I'm wrong, prove me wrong. Mufaddal says, to be honest, I didn't have much to offer. I was not able to debate him back. Told him that give me a break, because he raised some questions about the wisdom behind, what is the purpose behind all these calamities that we are afflicted by, for example. Why is it that some children are born disabled and infirm, and, you know, examples like this. And Mufaddal didn't have a proper answer for it. He says, the same evening, I went to the house of my teacher, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, expressed my situation and said that, Dakhilak ya Imam, as we say, that help me, rescue me, my dear Imam. And Ibn Abil Ojo is really manipulating the mind of simple Muslims. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam told me that come the following morning and I will teach you something that will benefit you to debate him back. The result of that, those sessions that the Mufaddal ibn Umar has had with Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, was the compilation of a book called Tawheed al-Mufaddal, referring, because the name of the person is Mufaddal ibn Umar, Tawheed al-Mufaddal. It has mainly four chapters, and the book is available today. The four chapters. Chapter 1, Imam has given him lessons on the wonders of human body to prove the existence of God. The second chapter contains wonders of the life in the kingdom of animals, of various types of animals, and the wonders in the kingdom of animals. The third chapter is with regards to the wonder in nature, how many wonderful things that we have around us without us realizing it and admiring and acknowledging them. And the fourth, with reference, the fourth chapter is about the wisdom behind all the calamities, natural disasters and things like that. What is the wisdom behind them? And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is elaborating on those lessons, on those issues to Mufaddal ibn Umar. The compilation is a book called Tawheed al-Mufaddal. Another distinguished student of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, his name is Jabir ibn Hayyan, known in the West as Geber ibn Hayyan. If you go to the Louvre Museum in Paris, the first statue of the scientist you come across is his statue. I'm quoting from Cambridge History of Science, that according to Cambridge History of Science, it was Jabir ibn Hayyam who is considered the father of chemistry, other than Lavoisier, who is considered the father of modern chemistry. Jabir ibn Hayyan is considered the father of chemistry. It was Jabir, or Geber as they say it in English, it was Jabir who introduced two more elements to the then known elements. One of them was mercury, and another one was sulfur. Jabir was the student of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, has been attending the lessons of chemistry conducted by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He had 500 lessons in chemistry from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, a thick book compiled under the instruction of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Mu'adh ibn Sa'ib al-Kalbi, as you can see, variety of Islamic sciences. Mu'adh ibn Sa'ib al-Kalbi was another student of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who up until today is considered the founder of genealogy and ilm al-ansab in the Arabic world. For those who were tracing back, you know, their family tree, they wanted to know where their family tree reaches. In terms of jurisprudence and faith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam taught so many students. Zurare, Muhammad ibn Muslim, Jamil ibn Darraj, Abu Hanife, Malik, who were of different denomination themselves, they were all the students of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Remember what that historian Hassan ibn Bashar had said, that he had come across 900 senior scholars, all quoting from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Ibn Sirin, that some of you who are very much into dream interpretation and you want to know the meaning of your dreams are familiar with this name, was also one of the students of Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam, and his book Interpretation of Dreams is considered up until today one of the scholarly books on this topic. Ibn Ishaq is the first person that in the history of Islam compiled a history book. He was directly one of the students of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Although we don't have access to the actual book of Ibn Ishaq, but his book, few decades later, more than half a century later after him, was revised by someone with the name of Ibn Hisham, that is available today, called As-Sirat al-Nabawiyya li Ibn Hisham. But in fact, Sira Nabawiyya, the history of the biography of the Prophet, compiled by Ibn Hisham, is the book of Ibn Ishaq. And Ibn Hisham himself, he mentions that. that 95 at least percent of my book is from the book of Ibn Ishaq, who was the student of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Mu'adh ibn Muslim, again Mu'adh ibn Muslim al-Kufi, was another student of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who was the one who introduced Arabic syntax and Arabic grammar to the then Arabic world and up until today. Although one of the students of Imam Ali alayhi salam, with the name of Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali, initially he compiled the book and wrote something on Arabic grammar and sarf and nahw, but it was Mu'adh ibn Muslim al-Kufi who comprehensively compiled it, and therefore he is considered the founder of Arabic grammar, who was the student, one of the students of Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam. Abdul Hamid al-Katib, one of the well-known and versed Muslim scholars in terms of art of literacy and composition, was another student of Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam. Abdul Hamid al-Katib, for those who are familiar with the Arabic linguistics and literacy, he is so well known that the scholars up until today, they say literacy and composition in Arabic literature began with Abdul Hamid, referring to Abdul Hamid al-Katib. The family of Naubakhti were a group of family members of a family of Naubakhti that they were students of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and Imam Sadiq was teaching them astronomy. Up until today, they are well known as the founders of astronomy in the Islamic world, as well as philosophy, one of the branches of the Islamic philosophy, by the way, that we studied. Fudayl ibn Ayan, who used to be a wrong person and used to be, a thief, if I may mention that, may God forgive him, because later on he changed drastically his life and became a very pious person. He was another student of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and Imam taught him a very good book. I really recommend that book to all of you to read it. Alhamdulillah, that book is translated in English, known Lantern of the Path. Misbah al-Sharia is the actual name of the book, that Fudayl ibn Ayaz has received the contents of this book from his teacher Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam, which is in Irfan and mainly practical Irfan. Hisham ibn Salim, Mu'min al-Taq, and many such people were the most distinguished students of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in terms of theology and philosophy. Especially there are so many riwayat from Mu'min al-Taq in terms of his debates with the Sunnis that are really so amazing, and I don't have time to share it with you. I refer you to the book of Al-Ihtijaj if you are interested to know about it, the second volume. Let me share with you some of the debates of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, not for the sake of only debating, for the sake of educating his opponents, so that if for those who are ignorant, they find the right path. In terms of some philosophical and theological issues, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was debating, and there are records of his debates with some of the atheists of his time. I'm telling you that if it was not because of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, today we wouldn't have Shia or even Sunni. Both Shia scholars and Sunni scholars are greatly indebted to the contribution and to the educational campaigns of Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam. One of the atheists that earlier I mentioned his name was Ibn Abil Awja. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has had several debates with him. Unfortunately, this person, as far as we know, he never converted to Islam. He never accepted the truth. He remained an atheist and perhaps died an atheist. But there were so many debates between Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and this person, Ibn Abil Awja. In one of the debates, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is telling him, let me tell you the background. Imam is in Masjid al-Haram. If you've been to Hajj, imagine that in such a holy, sacred place, Imam Sadiq is there praying, and he comes passing by the Imam and says, for how long you people, you Muslims, want to, like a horse, you know, walking around this cube-shaped house made of clay and a brick, referring to the Kaaba, for how long you want to do? What is this really, this blindly action that you do? And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam tells him that, I ask you something. This is what we'll call it in logic dilemma, a type of syllogism. The Imam tells him that, Ibn Abil Awja, either there will be a life after death, there will be hell and heaven, or there is not. You haven't gone yourself there to find out if there is any or not. And no one has come from there to tell you if there is any or not. Alright? You just assume that there is not. You are just relying on your so-called rationality. You think there is not, but you haven't observed it that there is. I went and there wasn't anything, and therefore I'm relaxed. I'm an atheist. If there is no life after death, think about it. If there is no hell and heaven and the day of reckoning and day of judgment, both of us are safe. I haven't lost anything. I had some exercise, which you didn't. What am I going to lose? But what if there is? What if there is? And you cannot tell me that there is not, because you haven't been there to tell me if there has been, if there is or not. What if there is a life after death? What if there is hell and heaven? What if all what religions and divine religions and the prophets have been telling us are true? Then you're lost. You are lost and I win. Can you afford that? And the man was dumbfounded. He didn't know what to answer. Many such. Another day comes to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and the Imam tells him that Amasnu'un anta am la? Are you created or not? He said, no, I'm not created. The Imam says, and if you are created, how would you look like? Again, he was dumbfounded. He didn't have an explanation. Let's move on. Abu Shakir al-Disani was another atheist that, thanks to God, eventually at the hand of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he became a Muslim and he said his testimony. Let me tell you, I brought my egg to share it with you. One day he came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and he asked for some help. He said, I've been thinking and I'm quite confused about religion. Could you please, son of the Prophet, tell me, how can you prove the existence of God to me? I'm still an atheist, or I'm still in the state of doubt. Where they were talking, a couple of kids were playing with the eggs like this one. And Imam said, easy, there are millions of ways to prove the existence of God. Son, could you pass me over one of the eggs? And he collected one of the eggs. And he said to Abu Shakir al-Disani, have a look at this egg. Let's have a simple look at this egg. As you can see, it is covered by a shell. It's like a fortress, sealed. No matter how much we drop water on it, doesn't penetrate inside. It's completely sealed. And you don't see any stitches around it. Isn't it amazing? Look at this manufacturing work. Beneath this quite strong fortress or shell, there is another shell, thin. Now that you have opened, you know what I'm talking about. Beneath that, there are two types of liquid with two different types of properties. One is the egg yolk, gold color, and another one, the egg white. Two different colors, and they are both of them are liquid, but they are not mixing. No one knows whether it's going to be male or female. No one has come from inside this egg to say, I am the designer of this program. And no one has gone inside it to tell us anything about it. In your opinion, use your common sense, Abu Shakir al-Disani, do you see any design in this? And if you see a design, doesn't your common sense dictate that there must be a designer behind this? The man paused for a while and then he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Wa ashhadu annaka imamun muftaradu ta'a. I bear witness there is no God but Allah. I bear witness Muhammad is the messenger of God, and I bear witness that you are the imam sent for our guidance. Another person is Ahli Lajay. He was an Indian physician, also an atheist. Came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, long debates with him, which needs another session. And eventually, he was also converted to Islam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam had debates with some Muslims who were deviated from the right path and followed their wrong assumptions and created some perverted sects. One of them was a group of so-called Shia, known as Kisaniye. Kisaniye were a group of people that after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam at Karbala, instead of following Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, they followed Muhammad Hanafiye, one of the children of Imam Ali alayhi salam, known as Kisaniye. It was Imam Sadiq alayhi salam who could dismantle this so-called Islamic sects. So much they've been influencing the naive Shia that people like Sayyid Hamyari, the well-versed and one of the famous poets of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, was inclined toward this Kisaniye sect. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, with the debates that he had with the heads of Kisaniye sect, he managed to dismantle it and no more Kisaniye existed. Sufis at that time also, and I have to explain a little bit that Sufi, the term Sufi of those days was referring mainly to the particular group of Muslims existing among Shia and Sunni, that they were more of a beggars. They believed that they didn't need to work. They believed that they had to wash their hands from this worldly and the secular and materialistic world. And their lifestyle, their dress code was also very much worn, torn, and shabby. And because they were not working at all, they considered working a materialistic life. And the way that they lived was that they were begging people for the little sustenance that they had. One of the leaders with the name of Sufyan al-Thuri, that apparently for a while also he was a Shia, but deviated and joined the Sufis of that time. His name is Sufyan al-Thuri. One day he came across Imam Sadiq alayhi salam while the Imam was walking in the bazaar, and he said, looked at the Imam and said that your grandparents were not dressed like this, because the Imam had a very elegant attire, thin and white dress, very beautiful and attractive. And Sufyan al-Thuri said that, what sort of leader, what sort of Imam are you that you are wearing such an elegant dress? You can dress simpler than this. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam told him that don't jump to conclusion, because you will be losing your religion. You cannot compare this time with the time of my grandfather the Prophet, because at the time of my grandfather the Prophet or Imam Ali alayhi salam, poverty was prevailed, and Prophet or Imam Ali, as the leaders of their community, they had to live a normal life like their normal citizen, lower than their normal citizens. The time that we are living at the moment, Muslims by and large are quite wealthy, and therefore for me to wear something very shabby, it sounds like more of showing off. This is not the dress of this time. That dress that you are introducing to me is not the dress of this time. And many debates as such. Exaggerators or ghalin or ghulat, one of the groups of Muslims that again emerged at that time, at the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. They were Shia. They were supposedly the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. But because they were seeing amazing, astonishing things from Imam Sadiq or other Imams of Ahlul Bayt, unfortunately, they made the mistake that many Christians they have committed, and they believe that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is God, God forbid. They believe in the divinity of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was opposing them to the extreme. Many times that some miracles or amazing things happening at the hand of the Imam, they were saying, oh, this is why we say you are God. Imam was opposing some, one of them, his name is Abu Khattab. The Imam says, Abu Khattab mal'oonun, ana minhu bari wa abai minhu bura'a. He is cursed, he is away from the mercy of God, I'm dissociating myself from him, and my forefathers have nothing to do with this person and his school of thought and the way that he believes. And then he educated the community that لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ أَزَالَنَا عَنِ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ لِلَّهِ. May the curse of God be upon those who bring us lower, or they, how can I say, أَزَالَنَا. May the curse of God be upon those who detach us from the state of being the servants of God. No matter which level human can reach, still they are servants and are creatures of God. نَزَّلُونَا عَنِ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ. Bring us lower than the level of divinity. There is no deity in any human nature whatsoever, whosoever. وَقُولُوا فِينَا مَا شَئْتُمْ فَلَنْ تَبْلَغُوا. Say whatever you want to say about us. Talk about our virtues. You can never reach, but not to the level of deity and divinity. مَنْ قَالَ إِنَّا أَنْبِيَا فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ. Not only we are not gods, God forbid. Even if someone says that Ja'far ibn Muhammad is a prophet because he can tell the future, or he does some amazing things like miracles, that we call it karamat, if you ever claim that I'm a prophet, I have nothing to do with you, I don't know you, and you are not my follower. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. In terms of fiqh and jurisprudence, if it was not because of the contribution of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, we really didn't know much. Shia and Sunni. 30,000 hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are narrated from Imam Sadiq, through Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Think about it. 30,000 hadith. That Abu Hanifa, he says, I didn't have access more to more than 20 hadith. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam narrates 30,000 hadith words of the Prophet. Imam Sadiq for this reason was very much opposing analogical method of deduction that we call it in fiqh al-qiyas, qiyas al-fiqhi. Inshallah those who are with us in our series of talks on logic, they will learn more about it. Analogy means that if you look at the situation and say you think that another one is similar to this, so we say the rule that is applied here should apply here as well. This is wrong, not necessarily always true. An example. One example is this. Wine in Islam is forbidden because it's intoxicating. Wine, if it's taken from grape, is forbidden because it's intoxicating. Someone comes and says that, well, today we have variety of wines, not that I... I've just heard about it. There are variety of wines from variety of fruits that they take it. They take it from apple, they take it from date, they take it from fig or anything else. What you have is that the wine which is taken from grape, what if it's taken from apple? We say because wine taken from apple also is intoxicating, the rule that we have for grape applies for apple as well, taken from apple as well. This is correct, but not necessarily always the answer is correct. Look at now this example. Another example is this, that in jurisprudence we say it's incorrect, and that is with water you can wash your hand, and your hand, if it was najis, becomes clean. One of the properties of water is that water is flowing, sayyal. Vinegar also is flowing, so can I wash my hand with vinegar and my hand is tahir? No. Even though it has the same same properties as that of the water. This is called analogy. Not always the conclusion can be correct. Abu Hanifa was relying on analogy a lot, and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was trying to correct him that you are wrong, because many times you arrive in the wrong conclusion. He asked him some questions once. He said, "Ya Abu Hanifa, stop relying on analogy. I have a question for you. Which one of these two are more horrible? Murdering an innocent person or committing adultery?" He said, "Of course, murdering is worse." The Imam said, "So why is it that in Islamic jurisprudence, for murdering, two witnesses are required, whereas for adultery, four witnesses are required?" See, your analogy doesn't work. Another example, Mr. Abu Hanifa, to prove it to you that analogy not always gives a correct conclusion. Between Salat and Saum, which one is more important? Daily prayers and fasting. He said, Salat is more important. The Imam said, "So why is it that women during the menstruating cycle, they should repeat their fasting, but they don't need to repeat their Salat?" See? Another example, semen and urine, with all respect, are ejected from the same exit. So why is it that I'm talking about men? Why is it that for one of them, that is semen in Islam, shower is required, and for another one, urine, just washing the place is enough? Do you see your analogy again? And there are so many examples. Then the Imam tells him that do not use analogy in terms of your religion. أَوَّلُ مَنْ غَاسَ هُوَ إِبْلِيسُ. The first person who used the analogy was Iblis, Shaitan. He said, خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارُ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينَ. He compared himself on the surface with human, and he thought that he's superior to human. Therefore, he declined from prostrating himself before Adam. Debating with Abu Hanifa was therefore one of the examples. Allahu Akbar, we have a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that centuries passed, that scientific discoveries and innovation were not aware of the secret behind it. And I share this with you quickly. There is a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that mothers are advised to rest their babies on their left arm while breastfeeding. Mothers are recommended that when you are breastfeeding your baby, hold the baby on your left arm while you are breastfeeding, whether from the left breast or the right one. Some decades after Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, a man went to Imam Malik, one of the four leaders of the Sunni school of jurisprudence, and he said, "There is such narrations from Imam Sadiq. What is your opinion about it?" And Imam Malik says that, "Well, this is rather superstition. What's the difference between holding the baby on the right arm or the left arm? No significance to me. They may hold it in whichever side they want." Centuries passed. Only the followers of Ahlul Bayt who had full trust in the wisdom of Ahlul Bayt, they were practicing this recommendation, this mustahab. Even during the time of Renaissance, that the West and Western scientists were familiar, acquainted with so much Islamic literature in various scientific fields, still they were not aware of the wisdom behind it. It was until in the 19th century where the Cornell University in New York City was established, funded and founded by Ezra Cornell, that the name still is that, Cornell University in New York City. That Mr. Cornell himself, because during his infancy, he was suffering from some sort of problem, infancy problem, he funded an institution as part of the Cornell University for researchers about infancy and infant children.